You guys look marvelous today. Really do. Great to see all of you in red. There were an American and Englishmen who were reviewing the Niagara Fall Whirlpool Rapids, and one of them said to his friend, "Come and I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world." And he beckoned his friend over toward Niagara Falls itself and some of the rapids that were going on there, and he said, "You know, take a look there, because this is the greatest unused power in the world." And his friend replied, "Oh no, my brother, not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God." And for those of you who have maybe seen that power, for those of you who have experienced that power in your own life or have seen it demonstrated in the life of another person, I think you would agree that the greatest unused power in the world is the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And on this Pentecost Sunday of 2014, the question that I'd like to ask each one of us as we gather here today is, do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your own life? One of the things I've been sharing about over the past few weeks has been this whole idea about vision. And in particular, that scripture from Isaiah, "Without a vision, God's people perish." And one of the most important things for you and I to be tapped into in our daily lives is that God has a vision for you. And God has a vision for me. And God has a vision for his kingdom. And it's important that we're a part of that. Do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your life? You know, today you're all dressed in red for a particular reason. One is you've bought some of the t-shirts this Bonnie's been selling you. Give it up for Bonnie. Bonnie, thank you for that. And all of you are wearing other kinds of red shirts as a reminder of this very special day. Red, the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we do that to celebrate Pentecost. The Israel observed Pentecost 50 days after Passover. It was a glorious day of celebration when people offered praise and thanks to God for, first of all, the Exodus, that God had delivered his people Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. They were to remember that and celebrate that. They also celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And also, the Pentecost was a celebration of the harvest. The very name Pentecost means first fruits. And as you know, first fruits were the tithe that the Israelites were to bring to God. The first fruits in their giving to God, that tithe was an acknowledgement that the other 90%, everything that they had, was literally a gift from God. And what's interesting, as I think about with you on the first Pentecost that the early church celebrated, was that God gave a gift to the church. You know, we call this the birthday of the church. And we'll have a wonderful reception in Sungdon Hall afterwards to celebrate this birthday of the church. But one of the things I find interesting is that on this day of Pentecost, where the Israelites were to be bringing their first fruits to God, and they were, it was the day in which God gave first fruits to the church, that being the presence of the Holy Spirit, and a gift that just keeps on giving and giving and giving. And I just want to say something here today. You know, a lot of times people struggle with tithing in the church. They struggle with giving 10% to God. And one of the things I want to say to you here today is that you and I can never outgive God. It will never happen. You and I, as we are faithful to God in the tithe and faithful to him and in giving our very lives to him, God will always give us so much more. And we don't give to get, but that's just the nature of God. We can never outgive God. And I want you to remember Pentecost for that. Because on a day that means first fruits and us giving our first fruits to God, what God did on Pentecost was he gave his first fruits to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a tremendous gift of God. What a tremendous celebration of the very identity and nature of our God, that on the birth of his church, he would give a gift to us. And the gift is the Holy Spirit. Have you opened that gift? Are you immersed in that gift? Are you walking in that gift? You know, the reality is the Holy Spirit has been around for a long time. Actually, as you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit was with the Father and the Son from the very beginning. But in Acts 2, we read some very specific things about the Holy Spirit. And I invite you to turn in your bulletin to that particular lesson in Acts 2, where you'll notice some things about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. First of all, we notice that the Spirit comes with power. Comes very powerfully. In fact, the Spirit is like the sound of the blowing of a violent wind. Now, I've talked to some of you before and some people here in Naples who have been through a hurricane, been through a tornado, and they tell me that is a loud wind. It is like a freight train coming, and it gets your attention. But one of the interesting things in this scripture today is as we read about this blowing of a violent wind, we're not talking about a tornado, we're not talking about a hurricane, we're not talking about wind shear from the earth, but if you read that text carefully, it talks about this wind coming from heaven. I think that's cool. That's where this wind came from. This wind is very special, it is very particular, it is a gift from the Almighty, and it is a wind from heaven, a special anointing from the very throne of God that was poured out upon his church at the beginning, and the early church just continues to be a celebration of the presence and the power and that wind from heaven continuing to come down and down upon the church, fanning those red flames of the Holy Spirit. And so we notice that the Spirit comes in power. And I ask you a question here today. Is the Spirit moving powerfully in your life? You know, I believe as I read the scriptures, we're not supposed to judge anybody, and I believe that, but we are supposed to be fruit inspectors. And start with your own life, and I'm just asking you to look at the fruit. Are you seeing the fruit of power in your life? It'll be unmistakable. Areas of sin and struggle and unforgiveness and whatever it is you're battling with, if you're battling with it in your own flesh, you are still getting nowhere. And you know what I'm talking about. But if you are truly open to the power of the Holy Spirit and surrendering to that power and praying for the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit to deal with that area, you will begin to experience powerful breakthroughs by the Spirit of God. It's a very simple question. It is something that you will see, and I'm asking you, are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? When you pray for someone and you're just trying to come up with words in your mind and trying to figure out what to say, you're probably praying in your own power. But when the Holy Spirit is upon you and you're praying for somebody, let me tell you, sometimes the words just flow. They just flow. In fact, the Holy Spirit can pray better through you than you can pray through yourself. True. I do it all the time. I just try not to pray anymore. I try to get out of the way, and I say, Holy Spirit, please move through me, because you do such better work. You really do. Powerfully, anointedly, knows exactly what that person needs. You will pray for things for that person that they don't even know that they need. I love that. I love that. I didn't know I needed that. God did. Praying in power, living in power. Is the power of the Holy Spirit a reality in your life? Second thing that we noticed about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is the Spirit is present on everyone. I loved how you emphasized that in your reading, Connie. That was nice. I like that. The Spirit is present on everyone. It says that all were filled with the Holy Spirit and that tongues of fire appeared on everybody. It was a physical sign that the Holy Spirit was going to be present upon all of God's people. And you know, along with me, that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people. Maybe a king, maybe a prophet, maybe a priest, maybe someone who had a certain ministry that needed the power and presence of the Spirit of God. But everybody else didn't get it. That's what's so awesome about living in this moment as God's people in this hour, is that everybody can receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present upon everyone with tongues of fire. And what that simply means is, where you read. Flame on. Power on. Power up. Turn it on, baby. The Holy Spirit is present upon me and within me. Let's go. Now, let me just share something that's been a debate in the church for a long time, ever since I've been a part of the church, about, you know, is there a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Isn't there? Do you have to pray in tongues? Don't you? Let me simply say this. This is what I believe. I believe that anyone who has come to Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, to me, that is an indication that the Spirit's already been moving in your life. In fact, as I look back on my life, it took the Lord about a year to really bring me into relationship with Him. And I look back on that time, and I believe that the Holy Spirit was orchestrating places and people and things all the way along. I see that now. And so if you've come to Christ, I believe it's an indication that the Spirit is already moving upon you and within you in a special way. But what I want to ask you is, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to be free in your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to really be present to you, to be that real living person to you, and to nurture you in your faith and in your relationship with God? If you were honest with yourself, would you say that I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Most Christians, if they were honest, would have to say no. I know about the Father, heard a lot about Jesus, but that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost seems kind of strange to me, seems kind of odd to me. Some of the people that talk about the Holy Spirit really behave kind of weird from what I see of what they do. I'm really not interested, Father Joe. You're getting kind of from the rafters right now. But what I want to say to you, as you look at Pentecost today, as you see this reading in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. The Holy Spirit is to be present upon everyone in a way that is noticeable, in a way that brings grace and love, in a way that is not strange, in a way that is not manipulative, in a way that is not bringing dishonor to God, but in a beautiful way, in a holy way, in a powerful way. And you see, there have been too many people in the church for centuries now who have quenched the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives for so many different reasons. And I'm saying to you here today, it needs to stop. That is why the church in America and in Europe is so anemic. That is why the church in so many places around the world right now is dying. It is dying because it has not been open to the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's like trying to turn on a lamp that's not plugged into an outlet. If you were to try to turn on a lamp that wasn't plugged into an outlet, I'd look at you and I'd say, "What's up? What's going on? Why are you trying to deliver power to that bulb when it's not plugged in?" And guess what? If you and I aren't plugged into the Holy Spirit, if we aren't open to that power in our lives, we're not going to have power in our lives. Just how it is. So the Holy Spirit came with power. The Holy Spirit was present on everyone. And finally, we notice in this reading today in Acts that the Holy Spirit was prevailing over everyone, moving in a very powerful and awesome and mighty wave, like an incredible wave on the ocean. There was nothing that was going to stop the Holy Spirit that day. It was about catching the wave of the Holy Spirit and being a part of it. And this comes to another favorite subject of mine about the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Oh my gosh. I could be here with you all day telling you stories about, "Oh, Father Joe, I don't want to speak in tongues," or, "I heard this person speak in tongues. It was like another language, and it really seemed weird to me, and I just don't even want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. I don't have enough time today to tell you all the stories I heard and that I continue to hear." But look what happens on Pentecost Day. What happens? Part of what happens is they start speaking in tongues. I'm just telling you what's happening. It's in the book. All right, you may not like what's in the book, but it's in the book. All right, it's in the book. There's other things I don't like that's in the book, but it's in the book. Okay, just have to get a grip here. They spoke in tongues. But it's interesting, isn't it? They were speaking in different foreign languages. They were speaking in languages that everybody there could understand. People had come to Israel from all over the world, known world at that time, to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And as the Holy Spirit came upon the early church, they began to proclaim the wonders and the miracles of Almighty God in languages that each of those people could understand. And they were so, I love the word again, they were amazed by this. They thought, well, these guys are drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. I can't believe it. Which really isn't a solid explanation. I mean, come on, guys. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit moving on the early church, witnessing to Jesus, witnessing to the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God, and that a new beginning was taking place at that moment. And this was a microcosm of the macrocosm of what God was going to do. On this first Pentecost day, it was a witness to the church that God was going to bear witness to the entire world. It was a beginning in that city. God was already bearing witness to the world. The world had come to Israel at that point, and God was about to go out to the world through his church. The microcosm was bearing witness to what was going to take place in the macrocosm. How awesome is that? God was busy on this day. There was a lot going on in power and anointing and grace. Whew. I'm excited. I don't know where you are, but I'm excited. Come on, God. Two or three years ago, there's a group of us from this church that had the honor and privilege to travel to Israel for about 10 days. There are a lot of wonderful things I experienced during that time with my brothers and sisters in Christ from St. John's. But I have to say, one of the most beautiful moments, the most beautiful sounds I heard in Israel were tongues. It was the gift of tongues. One place in particular, I was walking through the Garden Tomb. It's a place in Israel where some scholars believe to be Jesus' burial place. It's that place where you look and it has the appearance in a rock formation of a skull. The Garden Tomb is right by there. As I was walking through the Garden Tomb, and our group was, there are different areas where different groups of people can gather to have Holy Eucharist, to have a prayer meeting, to just be in silence or singing or whatever. And as I was walking through all of these groups, they were singing in French. They were singing in German. They were singing in Spanish. They were singing in English. And even the people that were singing in foreign languages that I didn't know, guess what? I knew some of the songs they were singing because they had the same tune. I heard them singing Spirit of the Living God in French. Never heard it that way before, but it was great. I heard them singing Glory to the Lamb in German. Never heard it sang like that before, but it was awesome. These people from all over the world with different tongues, different languages, singing praise and honor and worship to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Beloved of God, let me ask you a question here today. Do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your life? My prayer today is that as many of you as possible will move from fearing the Holy Spirit to being totally open to all that the Spirit has for you. As you open up the Word of God, as you hear the gospel and the gospel book we blessed earlier, you'll notice there are many things that the Holy Spirit comes bearing as gifts. There are the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5 and other parts of the Scripture. There are supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit like tongues and healing and gifts of miracles that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12 and other parts of Scripture. There are natural gifts that people have like gifts of administration and hospitality that the Spirit gives as well and will increase and bless and further. And what I want in my life and what I pray that you want in your life is everything that the Spirit of God wants to give you. Why not have it all? Why not be open to all that God wants to give you? Why not be open to the fullness of power and anointing in every part of your life? And if you're sitting there thinking, you know what, Father Joe, I've pretty much done it all. I'm retired. I'm happy. Will you get over that? Will you check that at the altar today? And will you be open to the newness that God wants to bring to you in your life at this moment? Will you be open to the freshness and the love and the power that the Holy Spirit can birth in your life, even at this point of your retirement? Again, you're not done till you die. You're not done till you die. Do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your life? Will you yield? Will you yield to the tug of the Spirit upon your heart? The tug that's there. You know what I'm talking about. When birds are migrating in flocks to other lands and the instinct is strong upon them, if you catch one and imprison it in a cage, it will beat its breast against the bars and pant back and forth. But let the migratory season pass, and when you open up the cage, the bird will not fly. You may even take it and throw it into the air, but the bird will fall back limp to the ground. The tug on that little heart is gone. For a soul, for a nation, for the world, there comes a time when the tug of the Holy Spirit at the heart may pass forever. We need to hear that today. The church needs to hear that today. And you know, my prayer for each one of us is that we would have a fresh tug of the Holy Spirit and that we would say yes. That we would stop quenching the Spirit. That we would stop putting the Holy Spirit and ourselves in a birdcage of all things. And that we would go with that migratory impulse. That we would go with that movement and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That we would be brave and courageous and willing to step out, regardless of what anybody else thinks, and follow our hearts. And follow the heart of God in this hour. And be open to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In this hour, I believe the only hope for our world, the only hope for our country, are the people of God. Renewed in the Holy Spirit. I know that's not going to be everybody. I know there's going to be a remnant. But that's who God's going to use. And that's God's hope for this country. And that's God's hope for this world. And that's where I'm putting all my eggs. Will you be open to the tug of the Holy Spirit today? I pray that you will. You know, one of the powerful things that happened in the life of our church earlier this year was Faith Alive. And one of the things that we in leadership have been praying about is from time to time we want to provide opportunity to be open to God's Spirit moving among us like happened on that weekend. And so in response to my message today, I'm going to give every one of us a chance for some time of prayer. There are going to be a couple of healing prayer teams that are going to come up right now. I'd ask those who are going to be praying for healing to please come up. They're going to be standing right over here. And Deacon Bill and I are going to be right here in the center, and we're going to be anointing people with oil who would like to receive the anointing. And Glenn and the music ministry will be leading us in worship. At the end of this time, music ministry, I invite you to come up for healing prayer and anointing with oil if you'd like as well. And some of you may say to yourself, oh, Father Joe, I did that last time. I don't need to do it again. I need the Holy Spirit every moment of my life. I need fresh anointing every day. And I know you do as well. And so I want to invite you here at this moment to be open to the tug of the Holy Spirit. We're going to begin with prayer. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would move in a very powerful and wonderful way in each one of our lives. And then I invite you to come forward for healing prayer and for anointing with oil. If you'd rather just do one or the other, that's fine too. But I invite you to come. And I invite you to come in the spirit that you're coming to the Lord. You're coming to the Holy Spirit. And you're wanting more of the Spirit in your life. I invite you to do that today and to be open to the freshness and power of the Holy Spirit in this moment, in your life like never before. Let us pray.